This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Jablan Malala. This is Makosong Mjali.
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 Yeah.
Sulumbala.
Yeah.
Yes, Bafesh.
And fortunately today, at last, we have met you, Mr. Didat. We have been reading your
books.
Booklets. Yeah.
Yes.
We have been reading them for some time.
Yes.
And today we thought to approach this man. Yeah. We have some discussions with him. And when we inquired from him as to whether we can see you, he said, yeah,
well,
welcome.
Now if I'm available, I'm ever ready to meet anybody.
Boy.
Yes. How can I be of help to you?
Actually, it's to talk about the information in your books.
Right.
Yeah, information.
I also enjoy that. I enjoy that.
Yeah, because we believe that maybe you are... You're an honest man when it comes to giving the truth.
We have to be, yes.
And maybe comparisons in the books that we have
yes.
related to religion.
Yes.
But firstly, how did you get the truth, maybe some truths, especially when it comes to giving a light of how the Zulus were living before?
Well, this is what I hear from you all. Suppose you come along and you give me some information.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, you have no motives. Then says, no, man, this is something that I should share with other people. Like your concept of God.
Mm-hmm.
Before the white bus came here, the African as a whole, they had a certain concept of God. Zulus, the Basutus, the Khazas, the Tswanas, everybody had a concept of God. And that concept was absolutely unique. It was the right concept. The concept exactly as the Bible would like you to have. That God Almighty is not like a man or a monkey. Is not like an elephant or a snake. Is not like anything you can think or imagine. That was a concept. Because I'm asking the Zulu, so did you people before the white man came here, could you not carve out of wood the shape of a man or a woman? Or a lion or an elephant? I said, yes. Or out of clay, could you not mold the shape of a man or a woman? I said, yes. Then your God Almighty, your Umbilingangi, why didn't you make him Fanegiso? There was not a single African tribe south of the Zambezi. Not a single tribe made him Fanegiso. I don't know whether you know that.
Yeah.
Not a single tribe made that mistake of making Fanegiso of the God. Call him Modimo, call him Tiko, call him what you like. Call him Umvelingagi. But nobody has got Fanegiso. I want to know why. So, this old Zulu tell me, Sao Umnimzal, Uyena Umuya Uingwele, Agazali and Afuti Agazalwanga, Futi Aguholuto Lufananai. I said, that is a real God. I don't know why the man is lying to me. And the proof is that you didn't make Mfanegiso. Why didn't you? Because my people, the Hindus, they are civilized for 5,000 years. I don't know whether you know that. My nation is civilized for 5,000 years.
Excuse me. Brothers.
My nation is civilized for 5,000 years. 3,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, my people made gold jewelry. As modern as today's jewelry. They made muslin cloth. A yard muslin cloth, you can hold it in the palm of your hand. They had a water-borne sewerage. in India. 3,000 years before Jesus was born, when the white man was living in caves, wearing skins, my people were civilized. But they worshipped men and monkeys, elephants and snakes. They were civilized. From the material things, they used to have carts, they had wheels, you see, they used to have bows and arrows, shooting, everything they had. But they worshipped men and monkeys, elephants and snakes.
Not worshipping the real God.
No. They knew the real God, but it was too far beyond. See, everybody knew the real God. See, when a man takes a lump of stone, he doesn't say, this is his God. He says, well, this is, you know, in place of him, this is to focus my attention that I may go to him through this stone, this statue. He doesn't say, this is God. But, you know, he takes it in that place of God. He worships.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The Jews, when they made the golden calf, they didn't say that there is Jehovah. But they worship God through that. They're worshiping Jehovah through the calf. God said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want nothing. That's the problem. You see? So, in other words, they didn't say, they linkoyan, unkulunkulu, is Jehovah le ball, ya ball. They didn't say that. That is our God, is this our Jehovah? So, the Africans, though they had no written language, they had a concept of God, which is to me the highest. This is what God wants you to have. That is not like a man, is not like a monkey, is not like an elephant, is not like a snake, is not like anything you can think or imagine. Anything you think or imagine is not him. Now, if the Zulu tells me that, and the Khoza tells me that, I don't know, why should he lie to me? And the proof is that he's got no Mfanekiso. So I believe him.
Yeah, really, there is nothing.
Why would he want to deceive me? For what? What does he want to get out of me? He is not trying to convert me to the Zulu religion. He just said, look, this is what we used to think, our fathers. They worship God in truth and in spirit. But they felt that he was so holy, they had to speak through the Majlosis.
So just to invoke the to request the Majlosis to invoke, to talk on their behalf.
Right. So now, that is the feeling that look, God is so holy, so big, that you can't talk to him direct. He is holy, he is big, as you say. But he's, to us, we say he's approachable. The Africans felt that, no, I need somebody on that level, spiritual level, to talk to him. They said, look, we have children, look, long time rain didn't come, look at our animals are dying, and the crops have failed. Please intercede on our behalf to the Majlosis that you may send us rain, and for that we'll sacrifice an ox or something to say, you know, make appease him. We said, no, that God is approachable. That's all, he's approachable. He doesn't need anything. Like the Jews, they have to sacrifice that animal. You see, he doesn't need animals. He needs you. He needs your sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice that the Jews made, if they slaughtered a goat, whose goat was it? If you were making a sacrifice, you can't steal my goat and make sacrifice, can you?
No. Okay.
It was your own goat. Huh? So that was your sacrifice. You are sacrificing. The goat cost you something. You brought it up so nice and it's beautiful and all that. And now, you know, you want to have more goats. And I said, no, I'm going to make a sacrifice. Whose sacrifice? It's your sacrifice. You are sacrificing. So it is still yours. You know, the feeling that goes through for that animal. You love that animal. Nice bull, young bull. You're going to slaughter it. Whose bull is it? It's yours.
It's my bull.
So it's hurting you. It is going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Although you're happy because it's a God will love. Okay, you'll do it, but it's hurting you. So that is your sacrifice.
If I can ask you one
question. Yes, my son.
Can it be possible for us as black people to establish our own religion and look at your religion like Islam and see whether it can correspond, I mean, to our religion? Can it be possible for that?
No. No, I tell you why. You see, Man, he thinks for himself without an objective law being given. You're going to do things in your, according to your mind, the most beautiful thing. But in the long run, you can be creating a stranglehold for yourself. For example, Lobola. To me, it's a beautiful system. See, I bring up my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I looked after her, I educate her, and you want to marry her. Then if I just gave her to you like that as a gift, you're going to work her to death. Because you can get another one. But if you paid 11 cows, then this is, man, you're going to look after my daughter. Because if she's sick, you'll run to the Sangoma, run to the doctors, heal her. All that you're going to do because it's going to cost you 11 cows. So I put a price on my child. I said, you want to marry my daughter? Cost you 11 cows. A beautiful system of safeguarding, you know, the protection of my daughter. Beautiful system. Now that system has become a stranglehold. It was your brains. I say, it's a beautiful idea. You know, this is my child. I didn't just get her from thin air. I brought her up. You know, I looked after her and cared for her. And now I'm going to give it to you. You're going to work her to death. You don't care a damn for her. You got for nothing. You know, I said, come on. You know, look after my cows. Milk my cows. Good. Till the soil for me, plant my millets for me, and you can relax.
Watch all the things.
You're going to exploit my daughter. So I said, no, I make you to pay for it, so you can value her. Beautiful idea. But that beautiful idea has become a stranglehold around your nation, around the African nation as a whole. I think that Khoza also has the same thing, Lobola system.
Yeah.
All the Africans.
All the nations.
All the nations. Right. Beautiful system now today. The Zulus alone. Let's say they say there are 8 million. 8 million Zulus. Out of that, half are women. Just roughly. 4 million are men. Out of that, let's say only 1 million are of marriageable age. Zulus. 1 million Zulus. One wives. You want 11 million cows. How many?
11 million cows.
Damn it all. Where are you going to get 11 million cows from? Come on, tell me. The whole of South Africa, you know, the white man's cattle and everybody's cattle, you still haven't got 11 million cows. Do you know that? To get the Zulus married. So now, what to do? My daughter wants a man, and this man wants a girl. So, well, you can have her. You can have sex with her. But the child is mine. See, this is my field. My farm. My daughter, you can plant the seed, but the harvest is mine. Okay? Huh?
Yeah.
So now, you're going, you produce a child and you run away. Responsibility, you're going to get another one. You get into trouble and you run away. So I go to a Zulu house, I see a little child, say, Ube Baba Wake, say, this is Angas. Another house I go, say, Ube Baba Wake, say, Balegile. Am I right? Every home there's a bastard child. Is that your culture? Every house, the Zulu has got a bastard child. The Khoza has got a bastard child. The Tswana has got a bastard child. Every house. So you see, this is what happens. This is what happens to your brains. Your brain is good. You know, you can create. But because it is not given by an objective source, you're going to trip up. My people, the Indians. You see, my people, light skin and dark skin. The Indians. You know, I don't know whether you notice, there are some are light-skinned Indians and some are darker-skinned Indians. You see, the lighter-skinned Indians, we were the invaders into India 5,000 years ago. Like the white mass came, invaded here 300 years ago. For in 5,000 years' time, with this apartheid gone, you know, these white men won't be left anymore. You know that? All mixed here, you know. Then I said, you don't look like a very Zulu, you know, pure Zulu. So, well, your grandma, you know, she was a Makhalat, or she was a white woman, and or was an Indian. In 5,000 years' time, all these complexions of yours won't be here anymore. That's natural. Natural. Freedom, studying together, playing together. You marry together, and in 5,000 years, you'll be all gone. Well, your real characteristics won't be there. There'll be something there to say that you are from Africa, but you won't be like this, what you, I see you now. You'll be changed. You'll be changed. I'll be changed. Everybody will be changed. So 5,000 years ago, my forefathers invaded India from the Middle East. We call it the Aryan invasion of India. Like the white man invasion of Africa, we invaded India from the Middle East. We were
from the Middle East.
Yes. We were a fighting people. We were a fighting people. In the Middle East, there's always fight going on. You see? different cultures, groups, civilizations, they have fight. The Romans and the Persians and the Persians and the Greeks. There's a war all the time. There was no peace. So amongst that people, the grazing ground was getting too tight. So one tribe moved north, one moved south through the Khyber Pass into India, and one remained. The one that went north, they said they are the Germans, the master race. They are the Aryans. Hitler said we are the Aryans. They are superior to all the other European nations.
But my people. Just to interrupt there,
yes.
The people who went to the north,
right,
were coming from Arab countries or
from the way modern Iraq is today, Iran and Iraq, from that area. It was getting too tight. So let's go. So they went and they conquered the people and they settled down. Another tribe came in through the Khyber Pass into India, and India was a very peaceful people. We are a fighting people, and they are lighter complexion. See, like the white man that came here. We are lighter complexion people, with the sword and the spears. We walk into a town, they say, this is ours, this is Yabas. We walk into the village, this is ours, this is Yabas. We conquer the land without fighting. They were a peaceful people, the people of India, the natives of India. Peaceful people. The one that remained, the Iranians, they said they are the Aryans. Same names. They say we are the Aryans. The Germans say we are the Aryans. My people in India who are not converted, they say we are the Aryans. What is the truth of that? Yes. There is a common denominator between the Germans, the Iranians, and my people. Bone structure. There's a common denominator. But 5,000 years ago, we were one people. But now language and think culture, everything changed. But when my people conquered India, they found that India had these Brahmin cows on the way to Maritzburg. We have the Brahmin stud, you know, with the hump. We meat eaters. You see, man, that animal when we see, your mouth waters when the bride flies that day. You know, because we are meat eaters. We like that animal. Love it. So my people were meat eaters who came in. But they would have finished all the cows. All the cattle, we would have finished it up. It was ours. When we conquer the land, anytime we come and slaughter it, eat it, we'll finish it all up. So my people, they had brains. This is no man. We must preserve this cattle. So how? We're going to tell the child, this is pedigree cow, pedigree bull. He won't understand that. He says, man, this is slaughter it and enjoy it. So we said, let's program the guy. We brainwash the fellow. We tell him that this is our mother. You know, she gives us milk. We get sour milk. We get that butter from it. And we made that clarified butter, which remains incontaminated for a long time. And even the cow dung makes such wonderful compost, better than any fertilizer you can buy. We must look after her. She's our mother. You kill your mother? No. So, create that love for her. She's your mother. She's your mother. Once the child feels that this is a mother, he won't feel like slaughtering her. Otherwise, all the pedigree stuff, it won't hold it. He says, when I'm gone, he says, Daddy, the damn thing fell and broke his leg, so we had to slaughter it. So what are you going to do? So we add it up. Any excuse, you kill the bloody thing, you say, you add it up. And he says, well, this thing happened, that thing happened. But I said, this is your mother. You don't kill your mother. It worked. This is the human brain now. It works beautifully. It created the biggest cattle population in the world, India. I don't know whether you know. India has the highest cattle population in the world. But little Denmark, if you don't know where to look for her on the map of the world, you can't find her. Denmark. You can't find Denmark. Do you know if you don't know where to look? It's a tiny little place, man. That little Denmark produces more milk and butter than the whole of India put together. Why? God loves the Danes and he hates the Indians. Is it? No. There's not enough grazing ground, man. Millions of cows. You can't kill her. So the damn thing is a stranglehold now. I lived in Burma after Damzinto. I had 4 or 5 Jersey cows. My 4 or 5 Jersey cows produce more milk and butter than the 200 heads of cattle belonging to the Indians and Africans went to the same dip. Why? God loves me because I'm a Muslim. And he hates you Africans and the other Indians. Huh? No. You see, because I've got good stuff, I buy Jersey cows and I feed them well, so I get the returns. You allow them to scavenge around, graze around, the poor thing's got not sufficient milk for his own calf. What is he going to give you? So you see, this saving the cow, they save the cow. But they created a plague of cows. It's a plague now. It's a stranglehold. So this is what happens. The man, elbow room, Germany, under Hitler. You see, he was Lebensraum, elbow room. It worked like wildfire. You want it too, man. Everybody wants it. Huh? You want to rule this country. The Khaza wants to rule this country. The Afrikaner wants to rule this country. We are too few to think of that. So now everybody has got ideas. 1,000 years. Farwood said, you listen to me, I can rule these Bantus and the Indians and the colors for 1,000 years. Do you know that? Yeah. Apartheid system. You listen to me and I'll give you what you want. You can rule these people for 1,000 years. Germany told that to the Germans, Hitler. He says, man, you listen to me and you will have, you rule all this for 1,000 years. Everybody has got 1,000-year plan. But you see what happens. It catches up with you. These your 1,000-year plans coming from your boasted brain, it catches up with you. You need an objective being who can tell you, my child, don't touch alcohol. Now you see, don't drink alcohol. Anything that intoxicates, don't touch it. Now, under your new system, you can't do that.
Yeah, but now, I mean, sorry for interruption.
Yes, my son.
In fact, my question was basically, I mean, based on the kinds of religion which are existing in this country. So, as you know, that the white people, when they arrived in this country, they introduced, I mean, Christianity.
Right.
And they also, the Islams, I would say like that, when they arrived also here, they introduced Muslim. I don't know whether Muslim or Islam.
No, Islam is the name of the religion. Muslim is the follower.
The follower, okay.
Muslim is the follower.
Let's say Indians, they introduced, I mean, Islam.
Hmm?
Or whatever.
The Indians were the bulk of the Indians are still Hindus.
Okay, fine.
So the bulk of them are still Hindus.
They're Hindus.
Let's say you introduced, I mean, Islam.
Right. No, they didn't introduce Islam.
In this country.
No, they came themselves, they look after themselves. They didn't say convert the Bantu or the Makalad or the European or the other Indian. That poor fellow, he built a mosque for himself. He built his religious school for himself and he looked after himself. And it's a miracle that after 300 years, that guy has retained his religion in this atmosphere.
And my special concern is that what makes other nations believe that Islam is the first religion.
What you do, you put it to the test. Jesus Christ said, by the fruits you shall know them. Do men gather figs from the thistle or grapes from the thorn? Said, every good tree will be a good fruit and every evil tree will be evil fruit. By the fruits you shall know them. Now, you look around. Yes, now let's see the fruits of this. Different religions. Christianity. Let's see the fruits. Let us see the fruits, what it did to you. What's the surname you said just now?
Madlala.
There was one Madlala tribe when the white mass came. Now after that one Madlala tribe, one white mass calls one Madlala, say Madlala Buela. When I come a Romain, the Yabas. She's become a Roman Catholic. Another white bus comes along. Another Masala. Say Masala Buyalapa. One of them Anglican. Say Yabas. Another white bus comes along. He says, why not give him a Lutheran? Say Yabas. Another white bus comes along. So what Methodist and a Presbyterian. He's created 3,000 different fragments of the one Masala tribe. You have 3,000 different fragments. One tribe, Zulu. But one tribe among the Zulus, the Masalas, you have now 3,000 different pieces. This is the Zion, this is the Marumain, this is the Jehovah's Witness, this is the Seventh-day Adventist, all based on the same book.
In other words, these people are fragmented through the religion.
That even, forget the nations, bringing the Khoisans and the Zulus together, forget that. That one Masala tribe, damn it all, is 3,000. One Buthelezi tribe is 3,000 pieces. One Mkhize tribe is 3,000 pieces. Whole lot of yourselves, fragmented.
Yeah, then, because people didn't have, people were deprived of many things.
None of, the Christianity, none of what the guy tells you. No, he's giving you salvation. You see, he's given you a book. And he's given you a church. So he said, I belong to this church and that church. And you look down upon the other church. Because he said, that's not you. You're a Roman. You feel that you are the elite. You're going to go to heaven. All the others have protested. They will all go to hell. The Seventh-day Adventist is, you damn fools, you don't know when the Sabbath is.
Yeah,
the Jehovah's Witness comes along and says, you damn fool, you don't know the name of God.
But Mr. Didat, all these things have been happening for a long time, before we were born.
Now, how are you going to get rid of that? How on earth?
Yeah, then now.
That's right.
That should be eradicated.
No, right. So now, how are you going to achieve that? You must tell me. Now, I said, Uncle, look, I think if we do like this, we create a new church, give it a new name. He said, look, this name will catch. You make 3,001. Already there are 3,000 pieces. You're going to make 3,001. Another guy comes along, he has an idea, he'll make 3,002.
Because we didn't have a chance of reading, especially the Quran, but the Bible have been at our disposal for a long time since we were born, you know, because our mothers were Christian,
and they forced us to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah, they meant well. They said you get education and get good job and all that. No, they meant well.
No, but they don't like us living Christianity, you know. So that is wrong to choose for a person.
I didn't understand that.
They don't want us to leave Christianity.
Yeah. No. That's because they feel like a drowning man catching the straws. This is heaven for you.
No, because it was injected into them like that.
Right.
Especially to us now. Let me forget about the old people now, you know. Especially the youth. This has been injected into the youth. And we are so westernized in such a way that we don't even like to be called Zulus, or we don't even like to be called Africans. You know, we are serving.
We prefer to be called blacks.
We don't even like to own something, but we want to be the servants of other nations. Like we want to, some of us want to be the servants to your nation, and to be servants to the Indian nation, to be servants to
the whites.
To the whites, we don't. We have got that inferiority complex now. So. What do you do as Mr. Tidat? And we have got African followers, or maybe African people who have converted into your religion. What actually, before I come to what he has asked, what is your religion maybe trying to do to eradicate this?
You see, our religion says, look, number one, we must worship God. The God of your forefathers.
That's what both of us are.
Right. So you see, now we have a common denominator, because we said this God of your forefathers is a real God, not Jesus Christ, not Musi, not Muhammad. You see, not this elephant God or this cow
those
God.
Those are the people just like ourselves.
You know? Right. So now we have a common denominator between us. Right. We worship God, the Father in heaven, who is the real God, not Jesus Christ.
Not Jablan Mata.
Anybody that you can think or imagine, anybody the Bible says that the woman has carried can never be your God. The Bible says, forget umuntu ngatiba ulungile kanjani kutikwa na angaba mhlophe kanjani yena uzelwe mfazi na. How then can man be justified with God? How can you compare any human being with God? How can he be clean?
Because if I read the Bible, even Jesus said that a man, anyone born of a woman,
yes,
Anyone born of hope is liable to die.
Right. Everyone who eats, anybody, the Quran says, anybody that eats.
But there is somewhere where you say, in your books, where you say, Jesus was not the Son of God.
That's a different topic. Anybody who eats food has a call of nature. And your forefathers had the right idea that unwillingly he didn't eat food, he didn't shit, he didn't eat.
Yeah.
Right. He said that's what the Quran says.
He doesn't stay there.
Right. So he is a spiritual being beyond our imagination. But we know he exists. Yeah. We know he's real.
But he's not staying in the mosque.
No. Not in the church. You see? So in other words, now he is a spiritual being. It is your attitude towards him now that is counted. Now, that attitude towards him, the prophet of God had given. God gave it through Moses, through David, through Solomon, through Jesus, through Muhammad. But man had a tendency of adding frills. Look, the Bible is clear. God says, I shall have no graven images before me, not even of the likeness of the things on earth, or in the heavens above, or in the waters beneath the sea. For my name is jealous, and I'm a jealous God. I want nothing. And yet the Jews made the golden calf. Look, they had a teaching for thousands of years. Prophets after prophets came and said, don't do anything like that. And yet they made the golden calf. So we laugh. I said, no, man is like that. We are all like that. We are told something simple, straightforward. But we want to add furrows. So we says, now, that God Almighty, let's go back to him. The God of your forefathers. Call him Unvelinami, if you like. Call him Tiko or Mudimo, as you like. Doesn't matter. In Islam, it doesn't matter. Because your concept, when you say his name is Jesus, now the concept is getting contaminated. Yes, I know who Jesus was. He was a child born in the stable to a Jewish girl. At the age of 8 days, he was circumcised. His prick was cut.
Right?
He should drink milk from his mother's breast. He used to wet his napkins. Anybody who drinks milk must wet his napkins. Or anybody who eats my shit. So now you're believing in a God that eats and shits. A shitting God and an eating God. That's not the God of your forefathers.
A God who is being attacked and killed by the people.
Right. But first, eating and shitting. A shitting God and an eating God. Your Unvelinami was not that. Your Tiko, your Mudimo was not that. So I said, let's go back to that. Because when I talk about Allah, that is the God I'm talking about. Unvelinami. Same God. It's not another God. Call him by any name. Don't call him Shaga. Don't call him Dingal. Don't call him Shabala. In other words, anybody that you can mentally picture that's not suitable as a name for God. So find a name. What name? Unvelinami. It's a good name. Look, there'll be millions of Zulus who'll accept Unvelinami. Am I right? Since that is a real God. You preach to him the real God. That look, Unvelinami is the real God. We have lost track. We have gone on to getting substitute.
In other words, every nation has its own special name for God.
Yes. But now the name can get contaminated. You see?
Somehow.
Yeah, it has been getting contaminated. Like God, word God. So the Greeks had their gods and goddesses, you know, who ate and drank, wrangled and plotted, carried away the wives of other gods. So the word God now is not also a fitting word for God. Because this is the God of the Hindus. And you tell this to the Hindu, and the Hindu is not offended. So who are these? These are the gods of the Hindus, gods and goddesses, monkey god. We are not going into details. These are all the gods of the Hindus. And if you tell this to the Hindu, he is not offended. Right? So he says, no, that word God is not fitting. Well, the men and monkeys, you call them gods, cow gods, man gods, women gods. I said, no.
Many gods.
Right.
They've got many gods.
They haven't got one god.
No.
They've got many gods.
What about the
gods? In English they say they have so many gods, especially in the...
No, the language. You see, they speak about gods and goddesses. Then, if you're going to look after somebody's child as a guardian, they say you are a god. You are a godfather to the child.
Yeah.
And your wife is a godmother to the child. And in English, if you try to be a bit too funny, a bit too clever, I say, what do you think of this? Are you a tin god? Are you a tin god? You know, tin god, tin. You know, in other words, what the hell are you? What do you think yourself to be? In other words, are you a tin god? So this word God is, then you have God, and in English you have gods. Gods.
There is a capital letter G.
Capital God, and a small letter G. Then you have a goddess, G-O-D-D-E-S-S, goddess. Now, umvelingangi. I don't know whether in Zulu you can make plural of umvelingangi. Huh?
There is no singular, no plural.
Beautiful.
Only one.
Look, I didn't know that. Look, I'm learning now. Arabic, Allah, there's no singular, no plural, no feminine, no masculine.
No alas. Yeah.
You can't say alas. There's no such word in Arabic as Allah's. There's no such thing as Allah Father, Allah Mother. There is no such thing as a goddess, you know, the feminine of Allah. There is no such. The word is unique. You can't do anything to that word.
You can't change it.
And I'm
Hebrew.
I don't know about Hebrew also, maybe Jehovah. Yahuwah. Hmm? Could be, you can't make feminine of that.
Yahuwah.
Yeah, you can't make feminine. Oh no. But Elohim. Ella. Ella is the word for God in Hebrew. Ella, Elohim. Elohim is plural. Means gods.
Ah, yeah.
You see? It means God. Elohim.
Elohim.
Him. Elohim means gods in Hebrew. So, here is a word. We say, retain the word. Call him Tikva, call him Modimo. Because when you say Tikva or Modimo or Mvelingangi, you have no mental picture. Have you? No. So this is perfect. Therefore we say it's perfect. As soon as you think, it's a Shaka, you have a mental picture. You say Dingan, you have a mental picture. Although you might not have seen it. You have some idea.
Huh? But you can't say Shaka was the god of people because he was created.
No. But suppose you say, we give him a name. Mvelingangi, give him a new name now. Shaka.
Then you play him.
But as soon as it's Shaga, you have in your
but
mind.
But I regard that as a sin.
As a historical person. You say Muhammad, the name of God is Muhammad. Immediately you think of a man. Born 600 years after Jesus. His father's name was Abdullah. His mother's name was Amina. He was born in Mecca. So immediately you have a mental picture. Yeah. You say Rama, same. Krishna, same. Jesus, same. So anybody, any name that you take, you have a mental picture. In Islam, we are forbidden. You don't use that name. But call him by any name, says the Quran. Call him by any name.
Have you talked with the Shembe people?
I don't know. I'm trying to call the guys. I don't know what happens. They don't seem to be responding. I said, come, I want to talk to you people.
Maybe we can assist you.
I'll be happy.
So
I'll be very
if
happy.
You can take our details.
Yes.
And you can also take your details.
Right.
Thereafter we can contact them.
Right.
And make
some. Have you a position in the society?
Yeah.
Look.
And make some special arrangements.
We just started our fasting month now. This is the second fast. You know, we are fasting whole month.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the fasting month is over, whatever number of people, you say, look, you want to bring 10 people, you want to bring 50 people, we want them to visit the mosque. To see what the Muslims are doing. Just see what they are doing. We don't involve you. The only thing we tell you is take off your shoes. That's all. Out of respect for the house of God, take off the shoes. Yeah, you don't have to wash yourself.
Yeah, even in our homes.
Right. So the only thing is that please take off
your shoes. That is why we decided to come to you, Mr. Zidane. Because after reading your booklets, we understood that there is some common. There are so
quite a few common things that
you've noticed, you know.
I'm sure.
But the only painful thing is that we are being told that we didn't have our religion. But in your books, when you were defining the word religion,
right,
you told us that nobody didn't have the religion.
Yeah.
So maybe it differs.
No, it's a different people have different idea of religion.
Mm.
To the Christian, religion is Christ died for your sins.
But the Christians are wrong.
Christ died for your sins.
No.
I said, what sins?
No.
Most of you go and rape a 3-year-old girl and Christ pays for that. I don't know whether that makes sense to you. Somebody rapes your mother, your 80-year-old grandma, and Christ pays for that. I want to know whether it makes sense to you.
But Christ died a long time ago.
No. But they said, that is, he is the Son of God who died for your sins. And if you don't believe that, you're going to go to hell.
But what?
Now, we Muslims don't tell you that. We don't tell you that. We say, look, each and every one of us, you are responsible for your own actions. That's all. We believe in that. That whoever sins, he pays for that. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all the sins that he has committed and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. That is Islam. It's there in the Bible. But that is Islam. That means you pay for your sins, I pay for mine. Nobody pays for you or for me. So I said, look, it's a manly religion. You commit in adultery and you get VD and Jesus takes a douching. I don't know whether it makes sense to you. Huh? You go inject Jesus Christ, you know, well, pump him with water. Does it make sense to you? Huh? You got VD, you are rotting, and you give injection to Jesus Christ. Does it make sense to you? Huh? You have a headache and Jesus takes a pill. Does that make sense to you? That's the most nonsensical religion on earth. But because the guy had the gun technology, we look up to the guy. And now whatever he gave us, we say, Yabas, Yabas.
But why there are some Christians in the, there are people who are believing in the, in Christianity, even in Arab countries?
Oh no, you see, religion is a funny thing. You are brainwashed, programmed from childhood. Yeah. The Arabs are Christian, the whole of Egypt was Christian, whole of Libya was Christian, whole of Algeria was Christian, whole of Morocco was Christian, did you know that? The whole of Palestine was Christian, Islam came and conquered them all and converted a lot of them. Sudan was Christian, did you know that? The whole of North Africa was Christian, but now we didn't force Islam. The people accepted, they multiplied. Those that didn't accept, they multiplied. So in Egypt today, there are 40 million Muslims and 15 million Christians. Where did this 15 million Christians come from? They were there. Like, for example, now, you accept Islam, your people accept Islam, and some people don't accept Islam. So there'll be Christians there. Why religion says you don't force him? Even if I had the gun, I have no right to force anybody. Because it's worthless. Forcing people to accept your way of life, to repeat your formula, it is senseless. You come into my office here now, and I pull out a gun, AK-47, I say, come on now, say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There's a formula for saying that you are a Muslim. Say, come on, as I kill you. And you say it, La ilaha illallah. What is it worth?
But now, when it comes to language, still you are talking about the language now.
Yes.
That there is a form of maybe saying,
Formula.
Yeah, the formula, yeah. Formula. It's like I have heard some other African chaps saying, Salakum.
Salam alaikum.
Yeah, why
don't
they
say.
Repeat
again. Salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Salam
alaikum.
Can
you write it down that for me?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, when he went to that upper room, what did he wish his disciples?
Peace be upon you.
Damn it all. That's a salutation. How did he say it?
No, what?
He said, Shalom Aleichem. He said, Shalom Aleichem, in his language.
In his language.
Right. So these guys, in African Bible, they say, Frida Fayala. Is that what he said? Did he say it in Afrikaans? Frida Fayala.
No.
He didn't say it in Zulu. Ugutula Gubenina. No. What did he say? He said, Shalom Aleichem. We say, Salam Aleichem. Same word, meaning the same thing. Peace be unto you. Now,
so if I say it in Zulu, there will be no problem.
No, there's no problem there. But, you create an immediate bond with 50 million Chinese. You go to China, and you're recognize them, Assalamu alaikum, his heart and home open. You go to Nigeria, the bulk of the Nigerians are Muslims. I don't know whether you know.
Yeah, I know.
Assalamu alaikum, his heart and home is open for you. Damn it all. You go to Sagabona, So, what do you say? He said, no, I was wishing you. So what's that? He said, man, you find a common denominator. You go to Pakistan, Assalamu alaikum. You go to the Arabians, Assalamu alaikum. Wherever you go, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Man, it opens the heart and home of the people for you. He said, this is my brother. So why would you want to choose something that now wherever you go, what are you going to say? Good morning? To the Chinese, you say good morning? Huh? Then what are you going to say? He says, here, 1,000 million Muslims of the world, they all wish one another the same language. 1,000 million. They say, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. So, why shouldn't you learn that? In Africa, you go to the Kenya, Tanzania, you say, Assalamu alaikum.
Man, the guy understands you straight away. You say, Sagabona, Sagabonas. You're swearing me or what?
In other words, Islam is dominating African continent.
It is. It is. Whatever you say, the bulk of the people in Africa today are Muslims. Africa as a whole. The majority of the people are Muslims. And with the world outside, that's a common bond. Assalamu alaikum. Finish. Now you say, no, I want to choose another word. Okay, now you're going to start getting recruits for that one word, right? You say, Shaga, Bayet, Bayet. Let's say, you choose Bayet. I think it's a good word. But now what are you going to do? Maybe the Khazars don't like it. Huh? The Tuaregs don't like the bloody word Bayet. Am I right? So what you doing? Here, 1,000,000,000 you start with is the capital. You haven't got anything in Christianity. You haven't got it. You can't tell the Africana, Sagabona. You must say, Khoimora. Khoinand. You haven't got anything common between the colors and you, between you and the Indian Christian, belonging to the same church. Still, you have nothing in common. You are an African Christian, Roman Catholic, and the Indian Christian, Roman Catholic. What's the common thing between you? Nothing. You can't even bring a letter. But as a Muslim, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Common denominator. Why? There's a capital already there. Why not use that capital? Why is it not going to start? You want to invent the wheel once more again. Damn it all, the wheel is already invented. Use it. You say, no, I'm going to create my own wheel. Is that what you're going to do? No, you're a bloody fool. You want to invent your own wheel.
Yeah, and the other thing which I want to know from you, Mr. Sijidat, is that why most of the people change their names when they belong to this religion, yes. Islam?
Is it to make it? Now, he introduced you to me, Mr. Sijidat, but I don't want to see you. So right. Now, I ask you your name. You give me your name. Suppose you said this is Mr. Muhammad. What's the surname again?
Malala.
Mr. Muhammad Malala. And Mr. Abdullah
Jali.
Right. Now, there's a different relationship between us. You are my brother. You are my brother in humanity at the moment.
Yeah.
But now you are brother in faith. You see? So now that the relationship is closer than one thing, we are black. All right, we are black to put together. Then another thing, this is now brother in humanity. That's another thing. But you are brother in faith. To us, that is more valuable than brother in blood. In Islam, my brother, my son, he does not believe as I believe. He's not my son. I can't disinherit him. In other words, I can't say he can't carry my name. I begot him. He carries my name, but he's not my son. He doesn't think like me. He's not my son. You can be my brother. That man who came here is my brother. But if he doesn't think the way I think, I say, no alcohol. He said, no, I have it fling now and then, you know. But, so I drink my own, man. And brother, when I come for, you invite me for dinner, I'll bring my own whiskey. No, it's murder. He's not my brother. He doesn't fit into my house. You come along, you're thinking like me. He says, you're welcome, because you're thinking like me. To us, the idea is more important than the blood. The idea. These Indians you see, among the Indians now of my complexion, there are others are Hindus. We speak the same language. We have the same surnames. But we can't intermarry.
Why can't we intermarry? Why can't we? Why?
Because that man is worshipping men and monkeys, elephants and snakes. So we can't intermarry. He can't marry my daughter, I can't marry his daughter. But you, I can marry a Bantu girl who is a Christian. I can marry a Bushman or a Hottentot girl who is a Christian. But I can't marry a Hindu girl. She looks like me. She's got my same surname and she speaks my language. But I can't marry her. So you see, to us is the idea. You think like me, you are my brother. You don't think like me, you are not my brother. We are brothers in humanity. I treat you as a human being. But you are not that close to me. You invite me home for a dinner. I said, what are you going to feed? Where are you going to get the meat from? Like Peter. See, the first Christian that was converted what was his name? The first Greek to be converted. He invites Peter for dinner. And Peter goes. But in his mind, he's thinking that that guy is converted. Whether people told him that he don't eat pigs, did they tell him or not? Yes, my children. Look, let me write that Assalamu alaikum for you. You don't invent the wheel. That's what I said. The thing is there, use it. You want a place to pray? The place is there. If you can use it, use it. See? So now what to do? He requires, look, you have to take off your shoes. So no, I won't take off the shoes. So no, then you're not welcome there. You see, because everybody take off the shoes. Our form of prayer, you go down into prostration, and you, with all the filth and the muck that you might have gathered in your shoes, is there, and I'm going to put my face inside. It is not fair. So I said, now please, you know, take off your shoes. So in other words, now, you see, you want to bring your monkey god and your elephant god along? He says, no, we worship the unseen god of the universe. You can think of him, Velingangi, Unkulunkulu, Tikko, Modimo. Come, pray to him, you know. So in other words, you find a place, if there's a capital there, use it. You don't start to say, now I'm going to reinvent everything. So now, this system here gives me everything that I want. What do you want? Your nation to be a sober nation? Islam is the only religion on the face of the earth which teaches you that. There's no other religion on earth which says don't touch alcohol. Do you know that? Don't gamble. Our people losing billions a year, man, on races. Billions a year on alcohol. You can hardly afford it. We can't afford it. Our children are starving. And you go and waste it on bloody horses. Yeah? You waste it on alcohol. The first two of the major evils, as soon as you become a Muslim, you stop that. Look, immediately, you are better off than the other guy. Your brother is earning 1,000 a month, you earning 1,000 a month. Your 1,000 will go further than his. No gambling, no drinking. You can feed your children better, you'll clothe yourself better than this guy here. Am I right?
But if I'm doing that, I mean indirect. How you will know?
What do you mean? Giving what?
Christianity.
If I can gamble, I'm a Muslim at the moment. Let's say, for instance, I'm a Muslim, and I'm gambling on the other hand.
Right, right.
I mean,
you are sinning. You are sinning against God. You see, it's a consciousness. These people, when they come, it's a consciousness. You change of heart. The Bible says that the law will be written in your inward parts. That's what it means. You know, automatically, look, I'm fasting. From last night, 3 o'clock, I haven't touched water. Nothing. Nothing has gone down my throat. And I'm talking like this, as if nothing has happened. It doesn't seem like I'm dying. Does it? No. I'm quite fit. And up to evening, up to sunset, I won't touch anything. Up to sunset. You, if I tell you, say I'll give you 10 times a day for not drinking whole day, no water. You said, okay, boss. Okay. And when you go to the toilet, you'll drink it. You know that? You can't hold it. You can't abstain from drinking water. Leave out alcohol. You can't abstain from drinking water. You said, people are watching you, but you just go to the toilet, just open the tap. Yes, it's here, okay. You can't hold it. Why? Because you're doing it for 10 rands. You see? Now, we are doing it for God. Now, when you do something for God, this, when all the sacrifices that we make, it's a pleasure. We enjoy doing it. No gambling. I enjoy not gambling. I enjoy not drinking. I enjoy not dancing with other people's wives and daughters. So now you have cultivated the taste for shit. So you go for shit. It's a cultivation of the taste. You and this woman and that woman and that woman. You cultivate the taste, the white man's taste. He's like a bloody pig. But you follow his system, you become like that. You got a Bible under your hand, and at the end of the sermon, and the priest is going to dance with your mother, going to dance with your wife. No? He was preaching to you that you must not look upon a woman to lust after her. And now he's got your wife in his arms.
Yeah, Mr. Dittes. I mean, because of time, I mean, we thank for the opportunity that you gave us to come and visit you. So which we believe that maybe in future we are going to make some proper arrangement so that you can discuss further
about different
kinds of religions. And we are also prepared, I mean, to invite or to get people from Shembe to come and visit you so that we can emphasize.
If it is on Sundays, I don't mind giving you a bus load a week to come along, witness the Muslim prayer, ask your questions, have lunch with us, and go back. There's no condition that you must become a Muslim to...
Can you give this guy a hug?
Yes, yes.
Can you give him a hug?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That, you know, you must become a Muslim to... You must become a Muslim, otherwise you can't, you know, come and enjoy our hospitality. No, no, no. You come along and... Look, let me give you a book of mine with my name and my telephone number and address. Okay?
This one, I got it.
Right, so, all right, my telephone number, my address, my name, like my visiting card. I just don't know what has happened to all my visiting cards. I'm ashamed of myself. I got everybody else's cards. People come and give their cards and leave them to me, and I can't find my own card. I'm very sorry. Please, I'm not trying to deprive you of a card.
No. We are going to conduct, because we know now that you are sometimes available here. We can even phone.
No, you just pop in, man. If I'm here, I'm always available at all times.
But our greatest concern is how to eradicate this sickness of Christianism in the blood. From the blood of our people.
No, the thing is, you have to program the people. First thing is, he says, now look, Jesus is not God. Is he God?
He is not.
Your mind says no. The African mind, he says, no, he's not.
No, myself and him have been involved in many kinds of meetings where Christianity is being preached, you know, and we have tried by all means to make the people... convinced that most of the things that are there are not right.
To start with the Bible itself.
There is 50,000 errors in the Bible.
Right.
Where is that book?
No,
that book is not available.
No, that's not a book. That is an article from the Jehovah's Witness magazine. Oh, wait! They say that somebody wrote to them and said there are 50,000 errors in the Bible. So that's the article. It's available from the reception. It's an article from the...
It's not there.
Yes. Sure. Why is it not there?
50,000.
No, it's an article. It's an article from the Jehovah's Witness magazine. It says 50,000 errors in... It's not a book.
Mm.
You got the pamphlet there, 50,000 errors in the Bible. Right, okay. Right. So now, we have written another book. Is the Bible God's Word? And another one, Combat Kit. Have you got that?
No.
Pick it up.
Also, Combat?
Combat Kit. Combat. Combat Kit. So it tells you that this Bible is the most dangerous book on earth. See, I will lose morality. Lose morality for people. It's the type of things that you read, it's the type of behavior that you have. We are what we eat, and you are what you read. The type of our government, you know, with all these injustices, they made a law against pornography. To me, it's good. You say, look, I'm a grown-up person. I can see what I like. I said, look, damn it all, you're gonna contaminate somebody else. You know, you wouldn't like your daughter to read that, would you? You know, to see all the poses and all that. You know, men having with men and women with women and all that. Do you want to be broadcast? You says no. So I said, now stop it.
But the world, but I think the world is lost now.
No, I know. They legalized everything because now they don't really believe in this book. And the book is also teaching them Lot having intercourse with his daughters night after night. It's in the Holy Bible.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know even why it is in the Bible.
Then a son raping his mother, Reuben, the elder son of Jacob, first book of the Bible, he rapes his mother. Another guy, he has sex with his daughter-in-law. Judah has sex with his daughter-in-law and makes her pregnant. And the children are born, twins. And they are the great-grandfathers of the Christian God, Jesus.
And even in the Corinthians too, where Paul tells the nation that they can have a right, they have a right,
right
to get married to their own daughters.
And what? You see, the book lends itself to all this type of thing that you read. Then, you know, you get inured to this, you know, it doesn't worry you anymore. It's a normal thing. So, to change, you have to start. The book, you have to get rid of the book. And the wrong concept about God, that God is like a man. That's what the Bible portrays him, like a man, you know. Like a man who shouted by reason of wine, like a drunkard. God talks like that, like a drunkard. All kinds of things. But now, get the book from back, kid. Good. And 50,000 errors in the Bible.
Tries one.
Pleasure. So anytime you just pop in and you know, you'll find me available. Always.
All
roads lead to Rome.